Well, I'm going to approach this really simply. I know that we're all at different levels and different times in our relationship with God. And so I'm going to lay a real quick foundation, and we'll kind of go from there. Claire, you can start the tape, I guess, if you haven't already. Let's see if this works. No, it doesn't. Okay. I need help. Help from the helper. All right? All right. You may advance. There we go. Our basic scripture, and I think this is where we need to start, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Recognize that the Bible tells us that we are three-part beings. This is the way that God created us. He gave us a body, gave us a soul, gave us a spirit. Next slide, please. Now, real simply, the body functions through the five senses: smell, taste, hearing, seeing, and tasting. The soul functions through logic or reasoning. We have a will, in which we make choices, and we have emotions or feelings. Okay? You all have these. To whatever degree, one is dominant, and usually one is dominant in the mind, in the soul. You're either primarily a reasonable, reasoning, logic person, or you may be a feeling, emotional person. Neither one is superior to the other. It's just the way that you're made. Rejoice in the way that God made you. It's really okay. And then we have a spirit. That is particularly if we've been born again. All right. Before you were born again, your spirit was dead. But once you're born again, this is what you should expect. You will have an intuition, and it's not just the feminine intuition. This is intuition. Everybody has it. You've been born again. Intuition is something which is known or believed instinctively. It's just like, oh, I don't think I should go that way to work. I need to go this way. I remember when I was applying for a job at one particular point, and I wasn't in ministry, but so I went down, filled out an application, and as I'm filling out the application, I knew I needed to leave. Went to the lady, said, I'm sorry, I need to go. She said, you didn't finish. I said, no, I'm finished. Have no idea why, but the Holy Spirit, okay, activates this element of intuition. Then there's an element in your spirit of revelation, the revealing of something previously hidden or secret. God just gives you understanding in a particular way. It's amazing. The Bible says that we all may prophesy. You prophesy based upon revelation, okay? And then thirdly, you've got that thing called the conscience. Everybody ever run into a conscience now and then? Sure. It's the sense of what's right and wrong that governs someone's thoughts and actions. Now, there is, once a person has been born again, there are a lot of promises then that come into play. Keep going. Next slide. Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I got a nice picture for you. Some people are visual, all right? So this is for the visual folks, all right? The three elements inside of each and every person based on 1 Thessalonians 5:23, okay? Now let's get some more word inside of us. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us, and you also became God's people when you heard the true message, when you heard the gospel, right? The good news that brought you to salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. Once you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Next verse, Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. If we follow our own desires, we cannot please God. You are no longer ruled by your desires, but by God's Spirit who lives in you. Did you see that? The Holy Spirit lives in you. People who don't have the Spirit of Christ in them don't belong to Him. How many belong to Him? You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. All right? Next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you know that your body is a temple that belongs to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit whom you receive from God lives in you. That's key. I want to hammer this home. All right? Understand, the Holy Spirit, okay, is not just an energy. Okay? Wind is energy. Electricity is energy. But the Holy Spirit is intelligent. As a matter of fact, He's so intelligent, He knows everything. That's the omniscience, okay? He knows everything. He's more than just an energy. The Holy Spirit is not an it, He's a He. He lives in you. This is important because the He that lives in you doesn't sleep. He knows everything. Even the things that you think that you don't think He knows. Maybe I'll just pause for a second and let that sink in. All right. Let's keep going, all right? Yeah. One more verse, okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. For God's promise was made to you and your children and to all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Every single promise belongs to you. Find a promise and claim the promise. You know, our God is a vocal God. How did He create? He spoke things into being. When you find a promise that is yours, it is certainly appropriate for you to say, Father, You said that this is for me. Now I claim this promise and vocalize the promise. I remember one day when I was driving my kids to a school, and I felt the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear, your sons and your daughter will prophesy. I said, that's a good verse, Lord. He said, no, that's for you. Now, I've seen one out of three so far, but I've got the promise. And I depend upon His promises. And that's how we should live our lives. Now, some people are ruled by their body. They're really sensual beings. Others are ruled by their logic or by their emotions. You know, they are soulical people. And then there are others that are spiritual. Now, I found a wonderful chart that was put out by a Bill Bright's organization, if you could put that chart up, which I think will help you to understand what I'm talking about. Who sits on the throne of your life? Well, over here, all right, this is a self-centered life. This is what it looks like before a person receives Christ. That is, self is on the throne, and God is on the outside. Then, when a person comes to faith, then we see a Christ-centered life where Jesus is on the throne, and self humbles themselves before the one who sits on the throne. Now, this is a danger. There are some that after a period of time, they think, I know that. A decision needs to be made, and they depend upon their experience. They depend upon the counsel of other people, and there's nothing wrong with going to a counselor's, all right? But can I tell you that Many of the people that we go to for counsel, they're just as ignorant as we are. Huh? It's just a side note, okay? There are people that have problems in their marriage and they go to people that have been divorced 2 and 3 times. It's always been amazing to me. All right? If you need counsel in an area of your life, go to someone that at least shows a margin of success. All right? But there are those that after a period of time in their life, they take God off the throne, they sit back down. Now, they want to leave God inside the circle. Okay? Because you never know when something can crop up that you need a spare tire. When was the last time that you checked your spare tire in your car? Think about it. Just a thought, okay? I'm just trying to help, okay? My name is John, and I try to help folks, okay? Hey, professional counselors charge $150, $200 an hour. You're getting this for free, all right? It doesn't do you any good, though, if you don't apply it. Can I just also mention, come on now, most of us have raised kids. We've given them counsel, and they said, yeah, okay, right? Oh, you have raised kids. Okay, so you understand now what I'm talking about, okay? Now, all right. I'm going to spend most of this morning in the book of John, chapter 16. You can turn there if you want. I've got slides for those of you that don't have a Bible this morning. We're going to start in John, chapter 16. We're going to look at verse number 7 because my focus this morning is I want us to better understand the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, but we don't always really relate to Him the way that we should. And it's more than just asking Him, okay, for things that we think that we need in order to have a good day. Huh? Come on, that's how some people pray, right? Father, these are the things that I need today in order to be happy. Huh? Oh, and these are the things that others have asked me to pray for so that they're happy. Right? But the Holy Spirit in Scripture is presented as a helper, certainly as a comforter. Okay, He wants to bring comfort to you, but He's also a counselor. Now, again, it amazes me that we go to other people and we ask them for counsel, or we think that because of our experience, okay, those of us that have been, you know, walking with the Lord for, you know, a few years, I mean, you know, and we have experience and this, you know, I experienced this before and this is how God kind of worked it out and I know that God never changes, and so that's probably how. I mean, why do we try to use reasoning and logic when the Holy Spirit, He lives on the inside of us and really wants to tell us how we should approach it? Huh? Come on now. How many times do we say, Father, I ask you to bless this, rather than, Father, what do you want me to do today? Hey, that was worth coming this morning if you get nothing else. Huh? I mean, don't we? I mean, isn't that how we approach Father God? Father, I know that this is a good thing, so I'm going to ask you to do this and to bless it. Oh, and by the way, I've got to get to work now. I got to pick up this thing on the way to work, so I really don't have time to listen. Come on now. The Bible says that those that have been born again are married to Christ the husbandman. True? Huh? How do you think it would work if you married your spouse and you never stopped to talk with them and listen. I mean, you do all the talking. How would that work for you if your husband came home, expected meals on the table, expected a clean home, expected, a smiling face, okay, but never talked to you? What do you mean it happens now? I heard that from someone. Oh, I'm going to, Pastor Chris is going to start the marriage thing. Oh, as a matter of fact, we're going to have a Saturday morning marriage seminar, okay? I think it's the second Saturday in September, okay? We're going to answer all the questions that you've ever wondered about, okay? Because there's nothing new under the sun. All right, your problems have already been encountered and answered. All right, so, but come on now, okay? We sometimes approach our husbandmen in one way. Huh? Oh, did you also know that in a marriage, that the wife has the ultimate control when it comes to intimacy? I have a headache. Go away. We laugh at that, but you know what? If we are the bride of Christ, oh, yeah. Hey. You came this morning, it's your fault. Huh? The bride has the ultimate degree of control when it comes to intimacy. Come on now, wives, you know that the husband is always ready. Huh? Y'all are smiling, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is better than what's on my paper. Hallelujah. Where were we? Oh, yeah, John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus said, these words should be in red, not in black, but that's all right. Jesus said, I tell you that I am going to do what's best for you. Now, that's what we would expect, wouldn't we? Huh? This is our husbandman talking. He says, that is why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that is, cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I'm gone, I will send the Spirit to you. Now, what I want you to see in this verse, again, all of the promises in Scripture are for us. He says, I am going to do what's best for you. This is you, all right? This is why I'm going away. He says the Holy Spirit cannot help you, so we should expect the Holy Spirit to help who? You. After I'm gone, I will send the Spirit to you. This wasn't just for someone 2,000 years ago. This is for you. Jesus said that he'd never leave us nor forsake us, didn't he? Well, he didn't leave us. His Spirit is still right here, right now, for us. He's represented in the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that we can be legally married and really not benefit from the relationship. We talked about that, roundabout just a moment or so ago. I mean, there are folks that have been born again. There is a relationship established once a person is born again because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us just the same as when I stepped up to the plate and married that beautiful blonde-haired, oh yeah, she was blonde-haired nurse in those days, 50 years ago, when we said, I do, a relationship legally was formed, but I would not have benefited from that relationship if we didn't interact on a daily basis. Do you interact with the Holy Spirit daily? And not just throw up a prayer, this is what I need to be happy today. Come on now. He has been given to you. The Bible says in two places that the Holy Spirit is given as a covenant, as an engagement ring. That's so that when you look at your life each day, you can say, I know that I'm saved because I have received the Spirit of God within me. In those early years of marriage, there was one selfish person in the relationship. Yes, there was. Because truthfully, I married this beautiful blonde-haired nurse because she was beautiful. After a few years, our relationship began to take form. And truthfully, I fell head over heels in love with the woman. That woman could get me to do crazy things no one else could get me to do. And she still can do that. See, when you really fall in love with someone, all right, then self comes off the throne. That was good. And if you haven't experienced that, I feel bad for you. When I fell in love with Jesus, and I did, see, I'd already experienced the love of enjoying my wife. But now I experience a greater love. But that love has to mature. And you finally come to the place that you can actually sense if that person's presence is there. Over time, Heidi and I have had some disagreements. And that presence seems to kind of separate. Come on, has anyone ever experienced separation? Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's painful. But you see, if you haven't experienced that relationship, you don't know when the separation happens because you've never really been joined together. I mean, I appreciate Brother Ken, but Brother Ken and I can be out of relationship and it's not going to bother me all that much. I like him. He's a good-looking guy, all right? All right? He's okay, all right? But you know what? We can get in a myth, and I can, hey, that's Brother Ken, all right? I'll pray for him that God straightens him out, you know, and all that stuff. Truthfully, that's kind of what I did with Heidi in the beginning, all right? Until I came to know her, till I could relate to her, all right? But once you are really in love with someone, if you fall out of fellowship with them, there's a pain. Come on now. Huh? Do we experience that with the Holy Spirit? Huh? Boy, this is good stuff, God. All right, now, let's go to verse 8, chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he is a comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. Now, will convict the world of its sin. You know, I remember my first church experience, very legalistic, okay? And what I came to find out, because I was not brought up in a church, okay? My mom was married 5 times, all right, before I finally left house. Church just was not part of the family atmosphere. When I finally came to faith in Christ, I came in not knowing anything about church. Okay, I had read the Bible, by the way, all the way through, cover to cover, at least twice. Right? I loved those Old Testament stories; that they were kind of neat. New Testament made no sense to me at all. All that bloody stuff, But when I came to faith, okay, clean slate. So. When I was told by the elders, okay, this is what you should do. You need to spend some quiet moments alone with God. You need to read your Bible daily, okay? All right, I wanted to do everything right. Okay, I had fallen in love with Jesus, all right? Again, I already had the pattern of loving Heidi, and so I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's easy. Okay, I understood at least an element of what love meant, all right? So that's what I wanted to do. So when the elder said, okay, you got to read the Bible, you got to pray, okay, and you need to, get together with us, okay, don't forsake the assembly together, okay, all right? And then they had a whole list of other things, okay? What it all came down to is, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with folks who do, that kind of thing, okay? It was very legalistic, okay? There was a whole, from what I understand, there's 613 laws in the Old Testament, that the Mosaic folks put together, and then the church that I was in added another 600, on top of that, all right? Chewing gum is probably not good, I understand that some churches actually don't believe that you should use deodorant. I'm kind of glad that that's not us here, just all kinds of things, just all kinds of lists, okay? What women should wear and, what you should drink and not drink, okay? And the challenge, though, is this. If that's the environment that you're in, all right, some folks will respond to those lists, and they will actually have a breakthrough in certain areas that they feel deficient. Okay? Yep. I remember, when God convicted me to stop smoking. Okay? Very first week after I received Christ, and this is me, okay? I was having a morning prayer time, which is what I was told I should have. And as I was praying, I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to stop smoking. That wasn't easy. I heard wonderful stories of people being delivered. Okay? Really, I remember there was one testimony in the church, this young guy, I guess he's about 17 or so, he said that he was a heroin addict and he was using, $300, $400 a day heroin, and he'd steal from folks just to, supply his habit, horrible, horrible things, And he said, I gave my life to Jesus, and he said, the Holy Spirit immediately delivered me from heroin. When I first heard that, I said, no, he didn't, because my mind wasn't renewed yet, all right? All right? But then after I gave my life to Christ, I thought, wow, it's really great. So when the Holy Spirit said, John, I want you to stop smoking, I thought, God's going to deliver me. He did not deliver me. He didn't, okay? I used to those little cocktail straws that you use, to stir coffee, at the office, okay? I was always chewing those, okay, because I needed to have something in my mouth, and gum. Boy, I was just really going crazy with the gum, okay? And it took months before the urge was finally you know, broken, you know. But and there were days when I was driving to work back in the old days when, you know, when the Marlboro Man was still up on the billboard, I'd see that and think, oh, yeah, you know. And I'm thankful that there wasn't any cigarette butts left inside the car while I was driving, because I would have grabbed one of those things, sure enough, or I chewed it, did something with it, all right. You know, but by the time I got to work, okay, it subsided, you know, and God was gracious, okay. There are just things that are considered a sin, all right? And when you finally get a breakthrough, though, the challenge can be that you begin to feel righteous then. And then when I saw others that were still smoking, I thought, I'm not smoking anymore. Forgive them, God. And this can be a real issue, because then we become saved by our works and not by His blood. Now, this is really, really important, folks. Okay? A matured believer should come to the place where they recognize that any righteousness that's found in them is because of what was done on Calvary, not because of a doing or not doing that's going on in your life. It's only by the grace of God. It's only because of what Jesus did on that cross. You see, it's a little thing called substitution, right? Jesus took your history and you took His destiny. And any time that part of you can look at another believer, another Christian, or even a non-Christian, and take that Pharisaical approach. Well, I thank you, God, that I'm not like others. Come on now. Huh? Remember that little verse in Scripture? Huh? I thank you, I'm not like others. I give 10% of everything that I receive, you know, and I fast, you know, every week. And I thank you, God, that you've delivered me from all these things, not like them. See, I can speak from experience, because I've had the Holy Spirit slap me on the side of the head. I want you to learn from my mistakes. And do you know who we judge the most? The folks in our own household. Oh, it's tight, but it's right. We're more demanding of people that live in our own house than we are anybody else. And we can be the most unforgiving with people that live in our house. Oh, it's good, God. Let's go on. Let's go on. Time is running. Now look at this. Very next verse, John 16:9. Jesus said, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Most churchgoers say that they believe, but can I tell you? They don't really believe, because if they really believe, there would be action to demonstrate their belief. The Bible says faith without is what? How many believers we have here today? Oh, little more reluctant to hold up our hands now, aren't we? God's love is absolutely unconditional. God cannot love you more, and He will not love you less. But truth is, when God is not sitting on the throne of our life, He will ask us to do things and we don't hear it. Like, I've done this, okay? There was a decision that had to be made. God literally, because I know His voice, Bible says His sheep know His voice. I know His voice. He told me what He wanted me to do, and I argue with Him. And I'm sure someone said, you argue with the King of all creation? Yes, I do. Because there are things that the Holy Spirit, and by the way, this is one reason why people don't want to cultivate a matured relationship with the Holy Spirit, because they are afraid that the Holy Spirit's going to ask them to do something they really don't want to do. This is so good. And now y'all are responsible for this stuff. Jesus, you know, it all narrows down. I mean, out of 613 commandments, remember the guy came to Jesus and said, Lord, what is the most important commandment? He said, we just narrow this all right down. We're going to help those of you that are slow. All right? He said, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. That's everything. And that kind of love, by the way, is self-sacrificing. That means you're going to do what you do, even what you don't want to do. And he said, oh, and by the way, I want you to love your neighbor the same way. It's easy for us to say, oh, I love the Lord. That's easy, right? Because who can see? Who can know? And usually, truthfully, most folks who come to church every week look at the Holy Spirit like He's some kind of energy. He's just kind of some wisp. But our neighbors are a different story. Because we're going to come face to face, eyeball to eyeball with those rascals. And some of them, that's how we view them, as rascals. Y'all come across any of these neighbors, you know, in your ministry? Yeah. Folks that we have to go to work with. You meet any rascals at work? How's your boss? Is your boss a rascal? I remember that there were occasions in my earlier days when I used to think, God bless him with a brick. Holy Spirit was not on the throne that day. Now, look. All right? The world sins that refuses to believe in me. And we embrace that and we say, oh yeah, it's all of those folks that don't act like I do. All the people that don't go to church. But truthfully, do we live our lives as believers? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll do the things I ask you to do. And often, how can we know what He wants us to do unless we've spent time with Him? There, this church has been blessed so much because we bring prophetic ministry in. And I have always encouraged folks, when you receive a prophetic word, you need to take it home, you need to write it down, word for word. Mm-hmm. And then you need to pray about it, need to meditate. That means, okay, God, what are you really saying here? Because, listen, the Bible is true, and if anybody or anything on this planet says something contrary to the written word, you can disregard immediately. But Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as a helper. And he's not done talking yet. Take it one more. Jesus said in verse 12, he says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Why do you think that the apostles wrote the epistles? Because the disciples, right then, they couldn't get it all. Peter certainly couldn't get it, could he? Jesus said, Peter, after you've come back, then you go and help your brothers. So he did. And he wrote a couple of epistles, which are pretty strong, by the way. And he knew that when it came to a decision of who you should marry, which job that you should take and be in right now, which house that you should buy, that wasn't written down. But he also said, I'll never leave you. That's why the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And look, the humans around us, they can know our history and they can know our present, but only the Holy Spirit knows our future. Do you see why it's so critical that we develop a sensitive, personal relationship with God by His Spirit? Jesus knew that. That's why He said, hey, look, I'm leaving physically, but my Spirit's still going to be here. If we don't have that, we're no better than folks outside the church. Because he's got a lot of things that he wants to talk to us about. In a good teaching, a good sermon, you probably feel a conviction or two. Well, who do you think that's doing that? If you weren't born again, you wouldn't think anything about it because your spirit's still dead. Look, when you feel a conviction, you better stand up and start praising God. Yeah. But what happens if you become a hearer only and not a doer? You're a fool. You're deceiving yourself. Well, I thank God I heard that wonderful message today. Too bad brother so-and-so wasn't there because he really needs it. Matter of fact, maybe I'll get him a tape. Because he really needs a change. I thank God I'm not like him. That's all that's missing. That was good, God. That was really good. Oh, hallelujah. What else, God? What else? One more. But got another one? All right, here we go. I'm going to stop. All right. Verse 13, John 16. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, has he come? Huh? Okay. He will guide you into all truth. No excuses. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he's heard. Now, where do you think that he heard that? From Father. Remember, Jesus said, I only do and say what I hear the Father. will tell you all about the future. How many need to know about the future? You better believe it. And he wants to. Jesus expressed the emotions of God. He said, how long must I endure with those rascals? I mean, he didn't say that part, all right? I would have put that on there. But again, his love is unconditional. But let us not presume on his mercy and forgiveness. But I can tell you, as a father, there were occasions when one of my children would do something they knew was wrong. I had one of my kids did something that they knew was wrong. They got arrested. I got a call from one of their buds that said, hey, did you know so-and-so's arrested? I said, yeah, I know. Well, are you going to bail them out? No. When they're ready, they will call me. Sure enough, the next morning, I got a phone call. You know, Dad, it was really cold sleeping on that sheet metal bed. I said, really? I've never been there. Well, do you think that you could come down and help? I said, well, yeah, I will. As a matter of fact, I will send a helper, but you're going to pay for the helper. And you know what? Never ran into that problem again. But there are some parents that would have bailed that child out because that's what happens today. But our Heavenly Father loves us enough that He allows us to taste the consequences. Yes. There are some folks that have married the wrong person, that have bought outrageous things on credit that they had no business buying, and the list goes on and on. Oh, God, bail me out. But the wise person goes to God, puts God back on the throne, humbles themselves,